Okay, so today we're going to discuss Simen Kuf, which is our topic of Beria, and the concept of a Beria, of a whole organic entity, appears elsewhere in the Halacha. This is not the only place. If you look in Or HaChaim, Simen Reish Yud Sif Aleph, Or HaChaim, Simen Reish Yud Sif Aleph, Shulchan Aruch writes that if you you got it, if you eat or drink less than a shear, less than a kezias for food, and less than a revias for a beverage, mavarch tchila barcha haruil osa hamin, and afterwards you don't make any bracha. Then he quotes v'yesh mistapkim. Who is the yesh mistapkim? Tosfos in Brachos Lamed Tesem and Aleph that we saw. Lomar shal davar shu kibriyaso kagon gargir shal anav o shal rimon shemavorchel achrav avo pisha ein bo kazayis. So Tosis, remember, quoted this Yerushalmi, and he wondered aloud to Deus and Tosis whether or not the Yerushalmi is in agreement or disagreement with our Gemara there, with the Rabbi Yochanan who ate the zayis. And the question was about the pit, taking out the pit. Is it machzir from the shear? And Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi that if he ate the whole beria, so it doesn't matter whether you have a shear or not. So Tosis, second day, suggests that the Yerushalmi is not arguing in the Bavli, and the Bavli could agree. And it's because the Bavli is talking about when the pit is not in there, and there's no beria, so that's why it's a question about whether the shear is intact. But really, the Bavli would also agree to the Yerushalmi that you make a bracha achrona on a beria. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch concludes, L'chach nachon lizor shelo lechol beria pachos mikazayis. You should be careful not to eat one beria that's less than a kazayis. Well, what is a beria that's less than a kazayis? So, here the Taz says, yagdish and moil and bar, you shouldn't eat one of them. So I don't know what those things are, but they are individual entities. And here the Magen Avraham says you have to be careful, but if you took off the klipa, that's also not machzir the beria, because it doesn't make sense that that's inside the garin, masha besocha garin mikri beria, because taking out the outside thing, that's not a beria. So I guess if you have some kind of, I don't know, very small shell on top of a whole nut, where you took off the shell, that's still not machzir the beria. So you see from this whole story, in this din of Shulchan Aruch, based on the Tosfos, that the din of beria is a general concept that you have an entire entity. Yeah.
Does like a locust exoskeleton count as a klipa?
I wrote a locust exoskeleton, which we will arrive at a little bit later, which is discussed at length in the following article, which we will talk about. Copepods in NYC water, a scientific...
What are you talking? Can we?
We'll get to it later.
It's a bit of a...
We'll get to it. So just so that we should be aware that there is this din in Kol Torah Kula of Beria. And now the question is, how does it play out in our topic in the context of Taruvas?
I'm going to use this mini topic for my next Chodesh Torah.
Ah, okay, great. So we say in Shulchan Aruch, right here in Simen Tzad, in Simen Kuf, Beria, like the Shulchan Aruch says in the Mala, Of Tame Gid Hanasha Ev Menachai and Beitz Sheish Ba Efroach, which the Shach has and others have a long discussion about, Afilu Be'elof Lo Betela. It's not Batel. So what level of Chumrah is this? So the simple understanding is that it's a Din D'Rabbanan. If you look, though, in the Kresu Plesi here, he quotes a Chuvas Maharil, who thinks that it's Daraisa. He's Mefalpo back and forth, and the Haskama Sachronim is that it is only D'Rabbanan, and that's why the Taz here the Taz in Taz in Sif Katan Aleph says that this din is only Midrabanan, and therefore if you have a suffik, ihave beria olo, sveka derabanan ubato. But you should just be aware there was that one strange, one shita, one odd, unusual shita of the Maharil, who thought that it was Doraisa. Okay, so assuming that this din is a din Rabbanan, it tells you that a beria is not batal. Well, what is a beria? So the Gemara in Makos on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph tells us that a beria is a nemala, and that there is a machlukas there between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan regarding the context of Malkus, and then there's a further machlokas amoraim, whether Rabbi Shimon said his din specifically, I assume everybody saw this Gemara already, about a chita or not about a chita, even about kemach. And what Rabbi Shimon is telling you is that, especially according to the Ma'amar Kemach, Rabbi Shimon is telling you, it's not that there's a din called a beria, it's that there's a din called a kol shehu. When the Torah tells you that something is an iser, it means any small smidgen amount, any kol shehu is iser. And the Rabbanan say, no, there's a shear. And then Rabbi Shimon says, then really? But don't you agree to me that something which is a beria, like an amala, you get malchus? And they say, yeah, that's because it is a berias neshama. So the Gemara says unequivocally that according to the Rabbanan, meaning everybody agrees that if a person eats a namala, I'm not sure if a namala in Hebrew is an ant or a worm. We had trouble. How did you define a namala in Hebrew? Yeah, is it an ant or a worm? Yesh lezer raglaim or in lezer raglaim? So it's an ant.
Yeah.
So what's a worm? What's a worm?
Tolat.
Oh, tolat is a worm. Very good. Okay. Right, yeah, so that's tolas. Great, okay. Thank you. That should have been obvious. So that's one place where the Gemara defines for us what a beria is. Next place is the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf. The Gemara, based on the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that a Gid Anoshe, if it gets mixed up with a lot of other Gid Anoshes, Gid non-Noshes, it's not batal. So the Gemara says, why not? So the Gemara says, it's a beria. So we have an example of a nemala, an ant, and I should have known an ant because the Gemara talks about if you rip off the leg. So anyway, gnomes don't have legs. And then lechem nemala atzel. Then the Gemara in Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis here in Chulin quotes the discussion about a tzipor tahora bechayeha, that it's bekol shehu, and a temeya, whether it's chay or mesa. So the Gemara just says that that's a shear of a kol shehu. Why is it a shear of a kol shehu? The Gemara doesn't tell you explicitly, but Tosfos on Tzadi Vavim and Alef Tivim Aschol Mai says, you know why? If you eat an entire bird, it's bekol shehu? It's because it's a beria. And then one more case is the Gemara in Shavuos, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara says if a person takes a shavua not to eat, expressly takes a shavua not to eat, and you know, one fruity pebble, ledugma, mamish, takes a shavua not to eat a single fruity pebble.
What color?
And then he eats it. So the Gemara says that on mefurish he's for sure chayav for violating his shavua. The Gemara has a machlokas according to Rabbi Akiva, even in the case of Stam can mefurish or not, that's a machlokas. How could Rabbi Akiva stay even a kol shehu? But the Gemara says, yeah, but everybody agrees, if you're actually mefurish the kol shehu, one fruity pebble, then you're chayav. So why are you chayav? So the Gemara says, because it's a beria. So there, you start to get an inkling of what the story is with beria, because nobody will say that a fruity pebble is the same as a nemala. It's different. And it's also not the same as the gargar shel anav. So, what is the reason? We have four cases of what a beria is in the Gemara. What is the reason that a beria is not batal? So Rashi in Shavuos there says that the reason why a beria is not batal is because its chashivos makes it not batal. Because it's davar chashuv, the Rabbanan prevented bittul from setting in. And similarly, Tosfos here in Chulin Adaf Kuf Amud Aleph compares beria to chaticha ruyah l'skabed. Why is chaticha ruyah l'skabed not batal? So it's clear that when you lump those two together, just like the Bima Ganim in his Hakdama, you lump them together, it's because of chashivas. But it's an interesting thing that if you look, however, in the Isser V'Heter and Klal Chafhei, if you look in the Isser V'Heter and Klal Chafhei, he mentions these aspects of Chashivas, and he adds one note. He adds that because the Malkus is Machshevet. So, if the person eats an entire Namala, so he gets Malkus, even though it's less than a Kesayis, so it comes out in Afgamina though. If you say, like the first approach, that just is to the general Chashivas of the item, so then it has nothing to do with Malkus per se, and therefore, even if the particular item itself, let's say, was only Aser Midrabanan, so you would also say it's a Beria. But the Prima Gadim there is Mesupuk. He raises a question based on this Isser V'Heter that maybe you should only say the Din of Beria on things which, if you had them on their own, they would actually be Lokin Aleim. But if you have an Isser D'Rabbanan or some such thing where if it was in its own state, it would not be Lokin Aleim, then Taka, you wouldn't say the Din of Beria.
Or something that wouldn't get
Malkus,
I think it was
a Kesayis. Right. So that's an interesting...
Is it Dabar Pashat? I'm sorry, we spoke about this briefly and didn't say that, but is this a Dabar Pashat that, according to Rashi places, the holders of Ratna Chashivas, that Taka Issa Dereban, even though it's true, but the Pashat, that the Issa Dereban would have it in of... that Chashivas?
Yes, because that Lachor, that's exactly the point, which is, if it's because
of... In this Chakir, I understand.
But even in general, it makes sense. Because
like,
what they're telling you...
When the Isser D'Rabbanan is on Gavanah and the Chefs, is it possible not to have the Nekud and the Chashivas?
Right, but you, I think the issue is you're running into the problem. What we're focusing on is saying this Cheftza is significant. And because it's significant, there's no Bittul on it.
No, but that's
so
when the,
even if the is that's what I'm saying. Even if you could, I think you could say it two ways. You could say your way, but you could say the simple way, which I think is what everybody's assuming, is that you have a cherry. I'm just using it as an example, and that cherry for some reason is an Isser D'Rabbanan. I don't know. It's Trumas Chutz Laretz or something like that. So it's well, cherry trees are always only
right.
Aser, it's only Truma V'Drabbanan, according to most Rishonim. So you have a cherry, and let's say it's very small, it's Pachas Mikazayas. So even if you say that the Isser D'Rabbanan is only an Isser Gavra, not an Isser Chefta, but when the cherry gets mixed in with lots of other cherries, the lack of Bittul is not focusing on the Isser Shabo. It's focusing on the cherry, that you can't say that this cherry doesn't exist. What do you mean? The cherry is a Davar Chashev. And therefore, it's almost insignificant in terms of what the level of the Isser is.
But the pushback on that is that we know there's something, it has to be also Machmas Atzmai. For example,
One second. First of all, we haven't gotten that far yet. So I'm just talking theoretically. That's the first thing. Second of all, Tosis himself doesn't actually mention that it has to be also Machmas Atzmai. So we're just talking so far, just in principle. And this svara is going to come up again later. We'll get to it. In terms of the point that you're making, which is that if it's a din d'rabbanan, so it's almost a heymamru v'heymamru, would they have said...
Yeah, also
so
the shayla,
we'll get to that.
They would have been
great, so we're going to get to that a little bit. So so we know what a beria is. We know why it's not batel. The question is, how are you magdir exactly what constitutes a beria? Because the Gemara tells us that Gidon Ashe is a beria. But it's clear that Ev Menachai, what's that? I'm sorry, Nevela, Ev Menachai is. Now, Nevela is not a beria. So why not? What's the difference? So Rashi and Kuf Beis Mabez tells us that Nevela is excluded because the only time it's a beria is when it was created with the Shem Isser. Nevela only sets in later on. But when it was created, it didn't have a shame nevela, and therefore you don't say there's a din of beria. Tosos in Sadi Velvet Aleph adds a new concept. He says that nevela is different because the Torah has to aser it as if it were befarish that thing. The Torah has to specify this item for it to be to constitute a barrier. Why? And he develops this idea that the reason why a barrier is unique is because it's as if the Torah singled it out. That's what gives it a unique status. So since the Torah singled out Gid HaNasheh, well, Gid HaNasheh is an independent entity because the Torah labeled it as such. As opposed to other parts of the animal, the Torah never was magdir in its own way another part of the animal. As opposed to the Gid HaNasheh, where it actually singled it out. Similarly, Eiver Men Achai. Since the Torah singled out an Eiver Men Achai with an Isser, so every Eiver Men Achai has its own identity through the eyes, the lens of the halacha. As opposed to a nevela, the Torah never specified any particular part of an animal that is a nevela. Everything is a nevela. So because everything is a nevela, it's not specified, it's not unique, and therefore it's not going to be mugdar as a burial. The Rush follows Tosus and adds two more components. Number one, he adds in Sifkan Lamed Gimel that if it's Nechlak and Ein Shmo Olav, that's what defines something as a beria. You can take a piece of nevela, slice it in half, and both halves are still a nevela, as opposed to you take an Eiver Men Achai and cut it in half. You don't have a whole Eiver anymore. It's not Eiver Men Achai. Each half is just half a piece. It's not full Eiver Men Achai, depending on assuming that there's no full Eiver left.
You could hear the other direction as well. I mean, because the shame persists so much, you see it's far more of a problematic isser.
Yeah, but they don't...
I know.
Well, I think the point is that it's not a question of problematic isser. It's a question of, do you have a unit?
Yeah, no,
do you have a unit?
It's
about
that
the unit.
That
And then the Rush adds that it has to come from something that had a Bries Neshama, similar to that Gemara that we saw in Malkus. So far we have several different criteria, and the Ran summarizes with three criteria. He says, the Ran Adima Maskel Vahaveh, here in the back, he says, number one, it's got to be Isur Migufa. And if you look at the Ran carefully, the Ran mentions two concepts. Number one, that has to be also Mitchilas Briyaso, as opposed to Davar Acher Gorim La, and Isur Acher Gorim La, which we're going to come back to in a few minutes. That's going to be an important Ha'ara. We're going to have to talk about that. The second thing he mentions is Bries Neshama, and the third thing is that it has to be Shalem. So then, if you see in the Prima Gadim in the Hakdama that we mentioned in the Makoros, so he quotes five Tanaim, the four which appear in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rishonim that we mentioned. It has to be Shalem, it has to be Notzar Be'isura B'tchilas B'riyaso, Nechlak Ein Shmo Olav, and the fourth is, it has to be a Bries Neshama. Now, it doesn't mean that it has to be living now, it has to be at one time to have been a Bries Neshama.
These are two different ones?
Four different ones, according to the Prima Gadim.
Right.
Shalem, Yisur B'tchilas B'riyaso, Nechlak Ein Shmo Olav, and Bries Neshama at one point in its existence, even if... So far, four. Then, he adds a fifth, which he says is, Eino Osar Machmas Dover Acher Elo At Me'atzmuso. So the Nafkamina, he says, is Trefa Mibetin, where Trefa Mibetin is not an inherent problem, but it's a problem that exists Mitchilas Briyaso. So that's the fifth suggestion, which he says doesn't appear. So what's the difference between these answers? What does it mean that the Prima Gadim adds this fifth suggestion? What does it mean that something, let's go back maybe to that core svara that the Ran mentioned and these two svaras here in the Prima Gadim, that something is Nesar Mitchilas Briyaso? It sounds like you actually have a machlokas here between the Ran and the Prima Gadim. Because when the Ran set out his first formulation of what is a Tanai, he says, the Ran's Lashon, the Ran includes, let's see, it's on... it's on page Lamed Vav, the traditional ones. Hayachad she'isura migufa. What does that mean? Shehu aser mitchilas briyaso. Aval tzipor tohor v'chayotze ba'ashim uteres afapish and isnabla kimich adavar achar garam loli aser lav birya hu. So he seems to be mixing two svaras, which is exactly what the Prima Gaudim is saying. The Prima Gaudim is saying that these are two different arguments. Nesar mitchilas briyaso and aser mit machmas davar acher are two different conditions, whereas according to the Ran, they are the same. This is a huge nafgamina. Because, yeah, question? But conceptually, are those the same or different?
So I think if we consider trefa din, if we consider it a din rather than boiled down to conceptually two different legal concepts, then yeah, maybe they could be the same in one place and not in the other.
I'm not getting it.
If I'm going to say, I could hear the svara, let's say the simpler svara might be that a trefa, generally speaking, is considered a different thing. But I could also hear a svara that mitchilas briyaso causes a jump of everything that comes before its existence in this world, and therefore something which would have been considered a separate problem is now considered nafasato.
No, so I don't agree with that conceptually. If it's the shame of the problem has to be inherent to be considered machmas atzmo, a trefa is not an inherent psul, an inherent iser on the animal. Meaning, Eivir Menachai is such, and Giranashe is an inherent problem with the Giranashe. It's not some external iser that... Now, you're right, there are certain issues that are only going to crop up at a certain point in their development. But here, that's bringing us to exactly the point that we want to get to now, which is, so who cares? What's the nafkamina? Well, there's a huge nafkamina. Because if you look in the Kresu Plesi here, don't worry, I printed it out.
The real thing.
The real thing, if anybody wants Xerox copies. So, the Plesi, at length, first the Kresu references it, here it is in... The place is at length here in Os Hey. No, I'm sorry, Os Dalid, where he has the following concern. He raises the issue. It starts, he quotes the Rush, who never mentions the idea that it has to be Aser Mitchilas Briyaso, like the Ran did. The Rush never mentioned that. And he says, wait a second, let's talk about small bugs. And this is what brings us to our critical nafkamina here. Because the Achronim here in the 18th and 19th century are dealing with the problem of infestation of bugs in different foods. And the problem is that some of these infestations are so rampant that what they call milbin. So, I'm not sure exactly what milbin are. They're referred to in different places. But they seem to be so prevalent that the place he says, look, the problem is that Bizman is there. We see people, a lot of different people, and they're not adequately dealing with these bugs. So, Chalila, Lahakal, and Yislachatchila, but maybe it's a sniff, Lahatir, B'shas Lachak, B'dievid, you know, back against the wall, chips are down. You can have the following suggestion. Shulchan Aruch writes in the beginning of Siman Pei Dalid in Yerudea that certain bugs, when they are in their original place of hatching or creation, depending on how you look at them, they're not aser until they are yotze into the avir olam. So if you have a bug that's inside a fruit that they thought was generated inside the fruit, while it's still in the fruit, it's not aser. So Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz has a fantastic suggestion where he says, well, since these bugs don't become usur until after they come out of the fruit, memela, they're not usur mitchilas briyaso. Therefore, you can be makel on the bugs. Comes the chavistas.
Huge kula, that's so, like saying so much.
Oh, comes the chavistas, and the chavistas says, get out of town. Why? I think I put the wrong chavistas in the Mar Makomos. I think the chavistas is hey, not dalid. But if you look here in the chavistas, he quotes the Kresu Plesi, and he says, you're wrong. You know why you're wrong? Because usur mitchilas briyaso is the same as davar acher gorim la. That's huge. So therefore, he totally negates the kula of the Kresu Plesi because he assumes like the Ran. The Ran is the one who put those two svaras together and said that Nesar Mitchilas Briyaso and Yisro Davar Acher are the same. But the Prima Gadim Lechora did not hold like that. Varai, the Prima Gadim had to introduce that as his own invention of the fifth qualification, that of being Aser Machmas Atzmuso. But the Rebbe Reb Yonason will say, right, that that fifth condition is mentioned only by the Prima Gadim. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it. The Rosh certainly doesn't quote it. And therefore, it's a sniff lahakal to say that these bugs are not considered a beria. Why? Because afterwards, it's only afterwards that they become usur. Now he forewarns Akasha that Yitzi was asking before, because he quotes a Rashi that a Gid Anashe apparently is created immediately, but it only becomes usur when the Gid gets connected to the Kaf. I guess it's a biological question. How the Bria of the, so he says, wait a second, how can you say Gid Anashe is a good kasha, right? How can you say Gid Anashe is Aser Machmas Atzmo? I'm sorry, it means Nesar Mitchilas Briyaso. If the Gid Anashe, when it's first formed as a Gid, it's not Aser. So he says, suggestion. So he says, I'll tell you why. Tzorch Lomer, the Kevet de Enu Noeg B'Shalil, Ikar Briyaso Nechshav Me'ez Haleda. Since in a fetus there's no such thing as a Gid Anashe, memela, the Bria is B'Shas Haleda, not when it's actually generated inside of the animal.
But is it the same thing about the, you know, the Uber and Trefa? Meaning that the Venari could do about it also those things. Meaning the Uber Trefa, right, if you don't grant an action of the Uber until later on.
I'm not sure, because while it's an Uber, it's still Avram and Achai, that's a whole, it's not the same thing here, because here the din actually is not knowing, as opposed to the Isser, you know, Eno Zavuach would still apply, Avram and Achai. Yeah. Okay, so Rav Avadya in the Yechav Adas, in his tshuva about bugs that are on a microscopic level, he points out, this is in Chelek Vav Simen Mem Zayin. See, Paskins, that bugs that are on a microscopic level don't count, but bugs that are not on a microscopic level do count, and they have a din of a beria. And then he has a giant footnote where he quotes the same svara also from the Tshuvas Tuv Tam V'Das from Shlomo Kluger, that since these bugs are not Aser Mitchilas Briyaso, why? Because Odlo Pirshu their mutter, like in Pei Dalid. So therefore, and that svara is the same svara as the Kresu Plesi. Then he quotes the Chavas Das, and he goes on. It's actually a very long footnote where he quotes a series of Achronim back and forth who are Mefalpel on this svara. It's Machlokas Achronim. So he comes out Lahachmir. So this brings us to the Shaila about bugs, Halacha Lamaisa. See, if you say, like the svara of the Kresu Plesi and Rav Shlomo Kluger, so then many of the bugs that we have as manazeh, they're not nesar mitchilas briyaso according to this definition, and therefore they're going to be mutter. So this became part of the big discussion about the New York City tap water. In 2004, I'll get to you in 1 second. In 2004, a huge controversy exploded in New York because the New York City water system is not subject to the standard national federal guidelines about filtering, and therefore they found these small creatures called copepods, which are aquatic crustaceans that have an exoskeleton that cover their bodies, which are the most prevalent organisms found in most water reservoirs in the United States. So since the water in New York City comes directly from these reservoirs, they found lots of copepods in them. So this became a huge tumult, and that's why we have this unbelievably... that was in 2004, and this is the article, awesome article by Rabbi Dr. David Shabtai, Copepods in NYC Water, a Scientific and Halachic Background, which is from the Pesach 5765 Spring 2005 Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society. So first he goes through all the mitzias, and then he talks about the question, first of all, if you can see the shrotzim, but you can't tell that they are shrotzim, you just see a dot. Quotes a big machlokas achronim, and he quotes from Rav Yashiv zechron levracha, and others who assume that that's not enough to be makel. So then he has a footnote here about, a section here about just the exoskeletons versus the complete copepods. If it's just the exoskeletons, then it's not a problem because it's not...
How does that work?
It just has a skeleton, it doesn't have the body inside.
Meaning it's just the shell of a bug?
Yes.
So what should be the problem with the shell of a bug?
It's not, because it's a...
It's like a leg.
Exactly, it's a broken item, so it's no longer a birya.
Even though it's a birya, it's a problem. Why is it a problem? Why isn't it like the Ravli Devarim, which are like...
Yeah,
he's saying it's not a birya.
So first of all, exactly. So in Akhanami, so first of all, you have to worry about if those are atzamos, so that goes back to the question of atzamos.
The exterior of atzamos.
Exactly. But if it's just an etzem, that you don't have to worry. Why? It's batal be'elef alfei alafin. That's the issue.
But you could see it. Why is it batal?
Because in a gallon of water, it looks like less than a... You're talking about things...
See it. I used to could see it.
Yeah, you could see it. You could see it.
So why is it...
Why
is it batal? Snicker.
Oh, so, okay.
There is a noise if you have to search for it.
Exactly.
And the tircha...
In Achanami. So that's... You're right. So I'm mixing
there's
a few different things.
Okay.
So there is the question about... The first question is the visible but not identifiable as the sherets. And then later, he deals with the bones issue. Yeah, he deals with the bones issue in section 3.
There's some same people who said that it's not good enough for the hetzer, the fact that they can only see the dot. There's still makel for like flavor, right?
Well, that's part of the question. If you're required to filter it, then it would be a problem to filter it on Shabbos.
So the people who are makel on the filtering on Shabbos also be makel as far as eating it bakhlal, as far as
yeah, that's the assumption.
Wow.
Me'ikra din. So he discusses the question of he discusses the question of taruvis. So the first section he deals with is what the point that you raised, which is the Nikara Isra problem. And then the question of Torah Gadol, seeing it and removing it. And then the last section he discusses the piece at section 5, which is relevant for us, which is the issue of the...
I can
send it to you. I have it.
Well, yeah, you're a member of whatever.
I have a CD of the RGJ, so I can just email it to you.
David
Shabtai, yeah.
They really reached the '90s.
So he has a very long footnote. This in this article, if you look in footnote 82, he has the full discussion here about this footnote that we're discussing right now, regarding the beria and whether or not these bugs are us or bechlal. So this is in footnote 82. So this is a big factor as part of the whole discussion. Ayin Sham. So this brings us to the next issue, which is, let's assume that there is a barrier in front of you. Is a barrier ever batal? So if you look in the Mishnah in Trumas in Perek Yud, Mishnah Ches, so there it's discussing the brine of a fish, and the Rash Mishans quotes from the Yerushalmi that the reason, if you do the math in the bittel over there of the tzir from this dog, it's because the dog is a barrier, and you need 960 to be mavatal the dog, and the fact that the Yerushalmi says elef, it's not exactly an elef, but the Yerushalmi agrees, says the Rash, that it is batal. So if you look carefully in the Rashba, in the Torah Zabayas, he points out that yes, usually speaking, when the Gemara uses the expression afilu ba'elef lo batal, it's true, because this Rash, that there's bittul in 960, and the Yerushalmi, is only in the din of Beria. But let's say we say davar shesh lamatirin afilu ba'elef lo batal. Chatichu l'skabed afilu ba'elef lo batal. The Rashba, who sounds like he accepts this Chiddush of the Rash, the Rashba is in Bayis Dalet Shar Aleph in page 28 in the standard editions of the Torah Sabayis. It's Bayis Dalet Shar, what did I say? 4-1, page 28. He says this din is Dafka and Beria. And if you think back for a second, we don't actually have an expression in the Gemara where the Gemara ever says about Beria, Afilu Be'elef Lobatel. So they plug it in, but the Rashba says, you're right. But the Rashba says, you're right. When it comes to Tovar Sheish L'Matirin, Afilu Be'elef Lo Batal. But here, Be'elef, it is Batal. And it doesn't really mean Be'elef, it means 960.
What would be the Hesper for that?
It's such a great amount.
I know, but why is it different than any other Nekuda than anything else?
Good question. I don't have a good Hesper. But if you look in the Bir Hagra here, the Bir Hagra, he quotes this whole Sichsuch, and he says, no, I think others before the Gra said the same thing. They say, no, this Mishnah is not a Raya, because it's not dealing with the Birya. It's not trying to be Mavato the fish. It's trying to be Mavato the Tzir, the brine. Why do you need so much? The answer is because it's a very strong, it's a very, very pungent type of a taste, and that's why it needs a tremendous amount to be Mavato it. So if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, yeah. Not the brine. The fish itself is the barrier. He's saying, you're not talking about the fish, you're talking about the brine. The Rash says the fish, the Gras says no, it's talking about the brine. So if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan in Sifkatan, in Oz Gimel, he says that the majority point out that we do not paskin like this Rashba, or the Rash, or the Yerushalmi. However, the Aruch HaShulchan later in Sifkatan Yudalid, does use it as a sniff. Lahakel. So even though it doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch, but it is out there.
Where does he use it?
I'll get to it in a second. He uses it as a sniff lahakel, and the place is in Os Beis. He has this discussion about whether or not there really is bittul and a beria in 960. It's a very long footnote there. It's a long note in the place in Sifkan Beis, where he also mentions this svara as well. So now we come back to the story of bugs halacha lemaisa. It's the Aruch HaShulchan has a couple of snifim lahakel in the context of bugs. So here, he quotes the discussion in Sifkatan and Os Yud Gimel. This is in Siman Kuf Os Yud Gimel. He says, in the summertime, we have in all the foods, especially, he says, the Nemolim Hanikra Milbin, they have lots of these bugs, kol mini kemach, kol mini grofin, kemach yefshali molig bezeh. And even Bavadai has reason medakti b'cholmai de'efshar b'lemolam izeh v'adai kulehai v'ulai v'kavachomer kol hamon beis Yisrael. So what are you going to say? Chalila lomar shekla Yisrael yikashlu be'isr gadol kazeh. Chas v'shalom. So you got to come up with some svaras. So first of all, he quotes the crazy place we mentioned, who quotes the shita of the Rash. Number one, that's svar number one, that it's bottle in 960. Number two, in Os Tesvav, he quotes another suggestion, fascinating suggestion, which is that the Rif never mentions this whole idea of the Gid Anashe with other Gidim. He deletes this whole discussion. And he suggests that maybe that's machlokas asugyos, and the Rif says we don't paskin like this. That we simply don't paskin the din that a berry is not batal. No, he quotes a Gemara in a Mishnah. He quotes a Mishnah in Hasochras Apolim. I didn't look it up. Then he quotes a third svara.
All these are just to be marked.
Yeah.
Right.
So he says, look, the Rif doesn't bring it, so maybe the Rif doesn't hold to the whole din of Birya. Then number three suggests, he quotes in the Mishkan of Yaakov, who suggests that Chaticha Rule Skabed is the model for Birya, and that's Dafka true if you know which one is Isser. But if it's so tiny, it's so mixed in, and it's stuck in, and you can't get it out like these milbin, it's always in a taruvis, so then you don't say the din of Beria, because it doesn't have a makom b'fnei atzmo. He quotes this from the Mishkan of Yaakov. I'm just telling you, Einchuk, Mishkan of Yaakov is very important. Meshiv of Yaakov Karliner. So he's ma'ar on this. He says, I'm not so into this. He says, Yesh lo ma'ar la'ar al zeh. Al kolponim, the Torah says you're chayv malchus on these things if you're ochel and amala. So he's not so happy about it.
Does he quote the Kirsi's suggestion about it doesn't come up until it leaves the fruit?
Mm. Not make a brachas run on it. Right, that Yishami Tosas quotes.
I don't remember if he quotes the Kirsi place here. I don't think so. And then he has his own one more svara in Yud Zion. Ulafiani is daiti yesh heter acher. What's that? He says an amazing svara. He says, and he quotes the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef in Kuf Dala, that when you have dvarim hama'usim, then they're batal barov. Even if nisar v'tav shal v'nimcha gufan l'sochem ha'heter riba'al of mutar, me'ata kavachomer hadvarim. So listen to this svara. Chazal whenever goes around them. No, this is the Archa Shulchan Svara. He says, in Achanami, it's true. If you have a bug and you eat it independently, so you get Malkus. But if you have a bug that got mixed in, there's no way that Chazal would make a Gzer Midrabanan on a Dover that's so mos and so disgusting.
One of the four things the Gemara talks about is Namala.
Exactly. That's exactly his point. That these things, the Gemara only talks about it in Keva Abba Filu Bifnei Atzmo. The Gemara never discusses Namala in the Taruvis context.
But what do you do about the Gidahasha?
What about it?
It's not disgusting, it's just tasteful.
Right, right. That's great. That's exactly a perfect model. So then you will have a problem. We're only talking about these tiny, tiny little disgusting bugs that if they're Bataruvis, so they never instituted the Nibiria. Look, he's only saying it to be Matzdik.
Yeah,
the
Lashon, they says it's not pretty definitive. Couldn't be there because I was losing.
Anyway, yeah. And then he tries to bring a raya from the Isser v'Heter, and then to this, potentially you could add the Svara of the Grace Uplacy. So, Sach HaKol, there's a lot of discussion. So, in this context, you have these different Svaras, which all come down to the same thing. Now, this does bring up the last issue, which is obviously the whole thing has to be Shalem. So, if it was blended up, so then, generally speaking,
as long as you're not having
to Mevatlo. So that brings us to the last point, which you mentioned last time, if you're not Miskaven Levatlo. So these are things which also appear here in this article. So he has a discussion. You have to know the Metzias of each of the things. Does articles like 45 pages.
It's not
a slow read. It goes very quickly. So one of the things that he mentions here is this issue about Bitul Isula Chatchila. That's one. It's a section 6 about Bitulus Lachatchila, but also one of the things he mentions in one of the other sections is the question of at what point is it Eis Beria, meaning you have to know, does cooking it destroy the bug? Well, it depends what kind of bugs it is. Does freezing it destroy the bugs?
Also, destroy just means it has to lose its tzura.
Right.
Nothing has to fall apart. It can be completely intact. That's the Lashon says, the Lashon Kitush. That means it just lost its tzura a little bit. That means you cook it, and it gets bloated, and you can't,
Yeah, I'm not sure that bloated is lost its tzura. If it's bloated?
Whatever, it means it loses its tzura somewhat. All pieces are there, it's all connected. Just it lost its tzura.
Okay, I hear that. So, to summarize, we discussed, we outlined, what is a beria? The reason why it's not batal, the hagdar of a beria with the Ran versus the Prima Gaudim and the big Nafka Mina, which is the machlokas, the case you place in the Chavis Das, the shear of bittel, whether or not it applies, and then some of the issues that are relevant to bugs b'sman hazeh. And then the one other thing to look at the end of the simon before you move on is the issue about the question of gid and whether it's ke'etz ba'alma, whether it's bittel b'rov or not. That'll have a bunch of practical Nafka Minas at the Taz and Sifkat and Hay, Ein Sham, and in some of the Achronim here, when you have something that does or doesn't have a taste, is it that the Giranasha has no taste, so it should be true for other things that have no taste, or it has a Tam Kolish, Ein Sham. Okay?